Well, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, is Israel, and I'm talking about people Israel, I'm not talking about the state, is Israel's most awesome holy day. The Day of Atonement is the equivalent, is the English equivalent to the Hebrew Yom Kippur. Many people, the word atonement is vague and does not give any true meaning to the holiday. The meaning of Yom Kippur, Kippur is from the Hebrew word kapara, which means to cover. Therefore, the word atonement is simply just a covering. It's like sweeping the dirt under the carpet. We just cover it. It's still there. It was on Yom Kippur that the atonement was made for the covering of sins. Not the forgiveness of sins, the covering of sins. This atonement consisted of blood sacrifice of an innocent animal, and Yehovah commanded it. Have you got the PowerPoint up? Slide two, please. Pardon? That's it. In Leviticus or Vayikra chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." You all realize that your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's not your heart. It's your mind, your will, and your emotions, and they live for eternity. So this is why we afflict our soul. The time of Yom Kippur is the sixth divinely instituted holy day for Israel. It occurs on the Hebrew calendar of the 10th month of the tenth day of the seventh month of Etanim. But the name of this month was changed during the captivity in Babylon, and it was changed to Tishri. So when you look at your Hebrew calendars, you'll see Tishri there. But when you read it in the scripture, it says Etanim. And it's usually in late September, 30th today, or early October. It falls between two major biblical holy days, Yom Teruah, also known as Rosh Hashanah, or the Festival of Shofars, on Etanim day one. And then the Festival of Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, you might know it as in English, which starts on Etanim 15, or the 15th day of the month. But what is the importance of Yom Kippur? Why do we have two services, not one? Yom Kippur is the most, and always will be, the most solemn day of the year for the people of Israel. It was always referred to as the day. Yehovah designated Yom Kippur as a day in which you inflict or humble your souls. It doesn't say starve your stomach. And this is why, yes, they do in rabbinic Judaism, they have no water, no food for 24 hours. But that's not what scripture says. Yes, that's inflicting your soul, but we have to make sure that we don't put our own lives in jeopardy. Yah doesn't want that. And to go without food and water for 24 hours for some people could be quite dangerous, especially if they need medication. We can inflict our souls in many other ways to remind us that today is a day of Yom Kippur. So, and this is repeated twice in one chapter. We go to slide three, Vayikra Leviticus 23, verses 26 and 32. It says, "You do no work." It is an instruction or a law forever. So it hasn't stopped. We still have to do it. It is a Shabbat of rest. you shall afflict your souls. From evening to evening, you are to observe your Shabbat. Now, most Shabbats occur from sunup to sundown, but this is a specific Shabbat. There's two specific Shabbats that you're told. From the evening of the ninth, for Yom Kippur, we're told from the evening of the ninth day to the evening of the tenth day. Now, the evening of the ninth day is not the tenth day. It's from the evening of the ninth day to the evening of the tenth day. It's a whole 24-hour period. And the word afflict in Hebrew has very many meanings. Hebrew is an absolutely amazing language. And you have to read it in context to know exactly which meaning it is talking about. It doesn't have the one meaning for everything. So when we say afflict in Hebrew, it means to humble, to make low, to abase, or even to weaken. Make low, abase, weaken what? Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your reasoning, your thoughts, your will, your self-life, the life that contacts this world through the five senses. That's what we have to afflict. The soul is the seat of the sin nature, and it rebels against the commandments of Yehovah. On Yom Kippur, we have the opportunity to weaken it, abase it, bring it low, so that it might submit to the dictates of the reborn Ruach, or spirit, which is born from above by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach's death and resurrection for our eternal life. We must bring our souls into subjection to the Ruach, to the Holy Spirit, which is in subjection to Yehovah's Ruach, or spirit. We must bring our soul and our spirit into unity and obedience to the word of Yehovah. Not because he commands it, but because we want to do it out of love for him. This is called in the scriptures the saving of the soul. Can we go to slide 4, please? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, in other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of the Olam Hazeh, that is, this world. Instead, keep letting yourself be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you will know what Elohim wants and will agree that what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. We see that through his word, we transform the mind to conform to his perfect will. By repentance, in humility and contriteness, we lower our self-like impersonal openness to his watchful eye, so that he can convict us of sin and personal mistakes that need adjusting to his righteousness. And we all make mistakes, but we need adjusting every now and then. Just like when you get to my age, your back needs adjusting every now and then. This is not a religious ritual. Many think that fasting is what is required from Yom Kippur because it is a Jewish thing. We don't follow Jewish things, traditions of men. We only follow the word of Yehovah. To deny the body food without sincere, humble repentance is a complete waste of time. Anyone can deny themselves of food. We have to be in humble repentance. Fasting has become too often a religious practice that can make one proud and self-righteous. What is the fast that I have chosen, Yehovah says in Yeshayahu, or Isaiah 58? Let's check it out. We've already read it. In Yeshayahu 58, verse 1, in slide 5, have you got that? Yep. Shout out loud. Don't hold back. Raise your voice like a shofar. Proclaim to my people that what rebels they are, to the house of Yaakov their sins. Oh yes, they seek me day after day and claim to delight in knowing my ways, as if they were an upright nation that had not abandoned the rulings of Elohim. They ask me for just rulings and claim to take pleasure in closeness to Elohim. Asking, why should we fast if we don't see, if you don't see? Why mortify ourselves if you don't notice? Here is my answer. When you fast, you go about doing whatever you like while keeping your laborers hard at work. Your fasts lead to quarreling and fighting, to lashing out with violent blows. On a day like today, fasting like yours will not make your voice heard on high. It is this sort of fast I want, a day when a person mortifies himself. It is the object to hang your heads like a reed and spread sackcloth and ashes under yourself. Is this what you call a fast, a day that pleases Yehovah? Here is the sort of fast I want, releasing those unjustly bound, untying the thongs of the yoke, letting the oppressed go free, and breaking every yoke. Sharing your food with the hungry, taking the homeless poor into your house, clothing the naked when you see them, fulfilling your duty to your kinsmen. Then your light will burst forth like the morning. Your new skin will grow quickly over your wound. Your righteousness will precede you, and Yehovah's glory will follow you. Then you will call, and Yehovah will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, stop false accusations and slander, generously offer food to the hungry, and meet the needs of the person in trouble, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your gloom become like noon. Yehovah will always guide you. He will satisfy your needs in the desert. He will renew the strength in your limbs, so that you will be like a watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. You will rebuild the ancient ruins, raise foundations from ages past, and called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets to live in. If you hold back your foot on Shabbat from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call Shabbat a delight, Yehovah's holy day worth honoring, then honor it by not doing your usual things or pursuing your interests or speaking about them. If you do, you will find delight in Yehovah. I will make you ride on the heights of the land and feed you with the heritage of your ancestors, your ancestor Yaakov, for the mouth of Yehovah has spoken. Amen. The Jewish tradition for Yom Kippur, as I said, is a 24-hour fast from sunset to sunset. What good does this do if one does not tremble at Yehovah's word? To go out in obedience to a life, to live a life that has been renewed. In slide 9, Yeshayahu 66, 1-2. Yet to this one I look on him who is poor and bruised of spirit, who trembles at my word. This day, today, is to be treated like a Shabbat, but with specific emphasis on getting our lives straight and changed before him. If you want to fast, go ahead, but realize that it is the subjection of your soul that Yehovah is after, that it conforms to the eternal spirit, which contacts Yehovah and Yeshua in eternity. That which is reborn from above when we by faith trust Yeshua's death and resurrection for ourselves personally. Let me go to slide 10, please. In Vayikra 23:27, on exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls, and present an offering by fire to Yehovah. And in verse 32 of the same chapter, it is to be a Shabbat of complete rest to you. You shall humble your souls on the 9th of the month at evening. From evening until evening, you shall keep your Shabbat. From the 9th to the 10th. Yom Kippur is not the only holy day within Judaism, but it was only the only day of observance commanded by Yehovah in the Tanakh that had consequences. Otherwise, if we did not obey it, we would be cut off from one's people. There was a consequence left if we didn't obey. In Vayikra 23 and verse 29, in slide 11, it says, if there is anyone who will not humble himself on this same day, he shall be cut off from his people. Yom Kippur is also a day of prohibition of any kind of work. The death penalty was also the punishment if one chose to ignore this regulation. And that's in Vayikra, Leviticus 23 and verse 30. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. So it was something that they really had to do. Yom Kippur illustrated a regeneration for those who follow Yehovah's way of atonement. Yom Kippur was also a very solemn day for the Kohanim of Israel, or the priests of Israel. On that day only, the one singular day of the year that the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and stand in the presence before Yehovah and before his glory. It was on this day that he took off his normal colourful garments with the bells and the pomegranates and wore the white linen garments. White, well, I'm not too sure that they were white, because I don't know whether they had the way of bleaching them, but they were definitely linen. And he wore linen garments on that day. And on this day, the garments, when they were worn on that one day and were never worn again. I can't say the same thing about my linen garments. But they were never worn again. It was also customary for the Jewish people of Israel to wear white clothing on this day because it was a symbol of righteousness. There's different services held for Yom Kippur, which are traditions. In the evening of the holy day, which was last night, what they're doing in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment, is Erev Yom Kippur. It is perhaps the most holy occasion of the spiritual year. Jewish people flocked to their local synagogues to attend the Kol Nidre service. Kol Nidre is a special cantorial or singing prayer service. And it's asking for Yehovah to release the people of vows that they have taken inappropriately during the year. This is actually not a biblically ordained service, that's why we don't conduct one. And it is originated back in the Middle Ages when Jews were forcibly converted into the Catholic Church, yet still they wanted to maintain their connection with the people, their own people. It is during this service that the Book of Yonah is read to focus the people's minds upon repentance and returning to Yehovah. We will read the Book of Yonah in our next service. Yom Kippur takes on the feel of the most holy Shabbat. Jewish worshippers continue the fast that they started the previous evening and attend synagogues all day. The traditional prayers, and I must emphasize the need for atonement of sins in those prayers, the services go all day because they believe that the judgment will come close to the end of the day of Yom Kippur. Their prayers fervently ask that as Jews their names be written in the Book of Life for one more year. In Vayikra Leviticus 16, it goes to great detail about the ceremony centered on the sacrifices of two goats. One goat is called Chatat, which was to be killed as a blood sacrifice to symbolically cover the sins of Israel. The other goat is called Azazel, or the scapegoat, and it would be brought before the Kohen HaGadol. He would lay his hands on the head of the goat as he confessed the sins of the people. Instead of slaying this goat, it would be set free into dry and arid places, taking the sins of the nation with it. Maybe this is where Yehovah told me that when I pray for people, that I'm casting things out because of illness or whatever, I send them into dry and arid places never to return. There's a reason for that. Hasatan, if you take something out and you leave the place empty, Hasatan can re-enter. If you send things out into dry and arid places never to return, there's nothing out there. So it's stuck out there, wandering around, trying to find how to get back in, but it can't, because we've already closed things with the blood of Yeshua. It's been sealed. So it's really important how we pray. We have to be careful when we're praying, whether it's over illnesses or anything, we're praying over people and who we allow to lay our hands on us, because we can transfer, and unholy things can be transferred onto people. It's very careful who you allow to touch you. How many times have you ever been in a Christian church and they get everyone to stand up and touch the shoulders of the one in front of you? I cringe at that. I don't know who the person is behind me. I don't know what they're touching. You know who's touching me? I don't want unholy hands on my body. I only want the hands of those who know Yah, who follow Yah, observe his word. And I know that they're clean. It's really important that we are careful as to who we allow to lay our hands on us. So the sins of the nation were sent out into the wilderness, dry and arid places. And this is an awesome picture of a provision of Yehovah's grace. But how is Yom Kippur celebrated today without the proper Kippurah sacrifices? There's no longer a temple. They can no longer offer the sacrifices that Yehovah commanded. The rabbis of the first century decided to make substitutes to fill the gap. They replaced the sacrifices with tefillah, that's prayer in Hebrew. They added teshuvah, which means repentance in Hebrew, and tzedakah, which is giving charity in Hebrew. An astounding statement is found in the ancient Musaf prayer of Yom Kippur, so I think I've got that one up for you. Musaf prayers are additional prayers specific for holy days being commemorated. And this prayer used to be originally first century prayer that was done after the destruction of the temple. But it's no longer said in and repeated in modern Judaism Yom Kippur prayers. But we're going to do it anyway. In slide 12, this is what the prayer says. Our righteous Messiah is departed from us. Horror has seized us, and we have none to justify us. He has borne the yoke of our iniquities and our transgressions, and is wounded because of our transgressions. He bears our sins on his shoulder that we may find pardon for our iniquities. We shall be healed by his wounds. It's sad that they no longer say the Musaf prayers. The writer of this ancient prayer correctly understood the words of the prophet Yeshayahu spoken concerning the Messiah in slide 13 of Yeshayahu 53, verses 4 to 6, which says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, stricken of Elohim and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our crimes. He was crushed for our sins. The disciplining for our well-being fell on him, and by his bruises we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But Yehovah has caused the guilt of us all to fall on him." Yom Kippur is also found in the Ketuvah HaShelachim, or the writings of the apostles, New Testament, whatever you want to call it. This holy day contains important truths for believers in Yeshua HaMashiach. In fact, if any holy day deserves special recognition by believers, Yom Kippur should be at the top of the list for every Christian to observe. There are a number of references to this day in the Ketuvah HaShelachim. In Romans 3, 23-26, Rabbi Shaul of Tarshish explains the significance of our atonement in the context of Yom Kippur. Can we go to slide 14, please? "For it makes no difference whether one is a Jew or a Gentile, since all have sinned and come short of earning Elohim's praise. By Elohim's grace, without earning it, we are all granted the status of being considered righteous before him, through the act redeeming us from our enslavement to sin that was accomplished by the Messiah Yeshua. Yehovah put Yeshua forward as the atonement for sin through his faithfulness in respect to his bloody sacrificial death. This vindicated Yehovah's righteousness because in his forbearance he had passed over, with neither punishment nor remission, the sins people had committed in the past, and it vindicates his righteousness in the present age by showing that he is righteous himself and is also the one who makes people righteous on the ground of Yeshua's faithfulness." As I said earlier, kapara means covering or atonement. Another word for atonement also comes from kapara, and that word is propitiation. On the stake, Yeshua was displayed as our kapara, or sacrifice, the fulfillment of what Yom Kippur is all about. There is much more that I can explain to you about Yom Kippur, and I'm going to do that in the afternoon service. That service will commence at 2 o'clock. So all those watching live stream in the Southern Hemisphere, I know the Northern Hemisphere, there's no chance. Did I say hello to Kathleen? I did. There's no chance of them watching it in the Northern Hemisphere because they're all in bed asleep by then. At 2 o'clock, it's about too late through the night. But in the Southern Hemisphere, if you want to tune back in at 2 o'clock, please feel free. Year after year, the ram's horn, the shofar, calls to repentance, calls Israel to repentance. But there is no atonement in Judaism today. There is no blood sacrifice, there is no temple, there is no priesthood, and no adherence to Levitical regulations. Within the Jewish heart, a yearning exists for true forgiveness before Yehovah. It will never be found through the traditions of men, such as mitzvot, good deeds, charity, which is tzedakah. Neither can it be found by transferring one guilt to a fowl. It can only come through accepting the infinite sacrifice of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Yehovah. The Tanakh tells us that Yehovah provided the Messiah as his offering for sin. Can we go to slide 15? Is it 15 or 14? The next one anyway. Yeshayahu 53:10 says, "But Yehovah was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of Yehovah will prosper his land." Yeshua is the only sacrifice for sin today. If his sacrifice is rejected, there is only one tragic alternative that remains. Men and women must suffer the penalty of their own sin. This penalty is death and separation from Yehovah, as it is told in both the Tanakh and in the Kedavah HaShelekim. The next slide in Yeshayahu 59:2. It says, "But your sins have made a separation between you and Elohim, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And in Romans 6 and verse 23, "For what one earns from sin is death, but eternal life is what one receives as a free gift from Yehovah in union with Yeshua the Messiah, our Adonai." But to those who have put their trust in him, he says in Yirmiyahu 31 and 34, "No longer will any of them teach his fellow community member or his brother, saying, 'Know Yehovah,' for they will know me, from the least to the greatest of them, declares Yehovah. For I will forgive their wickedness, and their sin I will remember no more." Amen. Have you put your trust in the Lamb of Yehovah that is to take away your sins? Or are you still following the traditions of men? It's during this day today when you have to make that decision of where you're at. Let us spend Yom Kippur, our special day of prayer, where we can all pray even if we cannot fast. Blessed be Yehovah Elohim, who has secured our salvation in Yeshua HaMashiach. Because that is what Yom Kippur is all about, for those who call upon his name. The greeting for today is usually Gemar Hatima Tova. May your name be sealed in the Book of Life. Amen.